Okay, like I said, got some new additions from last time, and we'll start with Mose Sanu. One of the things that really jumped out in his game was his ability to separate and beat man-to-man. It was that quickness to win on his leverage, to beat man-to-man. It was really clear how to feature him both inside and outside. I love the competes and toughs that he played with. Thought he had exceptional hands, so was somebody that we had targeted and certainly had a real good vision of how to utilize him. Derek Shelby has real good versatility to play defensive tackle in our nickel package, defensive end. I see Derek's role is really increasing as a pass rusher, especially on the inside. We're going to play him both at end in our base package and tackle in our nickel package. Love his quickness for a guy who's 280 pounds. The length, I think he's just right in the middle. So I'm looking forward to working with him specifically as a rusher. And then the last guy was Sean Weatherspoon. So I had a chance to watch him from his time, obviously, in Arizona from last year. And it was really the open field tackling and space play that we play in so much of our three deep zones that seemed like it would be a good fit for Sean to come back and come in and compete and battle for it. And with that, I'll open it up to questions with you guys. And, Brian, if you want to moderate it, we'll get started.
Jeff Schultz, go ahead.
Hey, Dan. I guess we'll start with I guess we'll start with Sanu. A lot of people were kind of surprised that the contract got to be as high as it did. Why do you think the bidding got to the point that it did for him, and what is it specifically about him that made you and Thomas believe that he was going to be worth all that money?
Sure. I think the first thing regarding the free agency for all the guys, as we went through and put the plan together, knowing from which side we could go through with the draft, which side we could go through with free agency. So that was really the decision. We were able to execute the plan. So fortunately for us, Mo was the guy that we had targeted, and we knew the range that he would be into. I think the reason it's going up is when people studied him and watched him more, it was that ability to beat man-to-man coverage. And that was one of the things that, you know, as a receiver, when you're evaluated, those are always the things that you're looking at. So I love that part of his game. I thought he had really good hands. And then adding the competes and toughness of how to play just seemed like a really good fit. We know how to feature Mo and all the style that we want to play. So that was the real reason behind that.
Darryl Ledbetter?
I'll just give my first question to Schultz. He's writing the column, so he can take my first question.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I talking to Darryl?
Yeah, you got it again. You're back to back. We like it.
Okay. Sorry, Darryl. We didn't go over our game plan ahead of time.
okay.
I don't know if this was brought up on the last conference call or not, Dan, but obviously there's been a lot of reaction or criticism of Kyle since the season ended, some of it in the aftermath of the Roddy decision. What's your reaction to criticism of the offense in general and Kyle in particular?
Well, criticism to the offense, any of the scheme-related stance, I can tell you the things that we did well were like time of possession, one of the tops in the league. Over 400 runs, that part was really good. Third down, number two in the league. I thought from a scheme standpoint, from the fans who had talked about it or writers, the area that I thought we struggled in most, Jeff, was our, you know, turnover ratio offensively. So that was one of the real, you know, things that strained us as it went through it. Prior to the season, if you had said, hey, Dan, I think this might happen, but you're going to have be in the minus on a turnover ratio, that would have been probably the thing I would have been bummed about to hear that happened. So that's kind of been the point of emphasis, not only when I started here, but that emphasis and carrying that flag is the most important part to me. So I thought from a team standpoint, that's where we didn't come through, and we're going to nail that part of our game. We're not there yet. As far as criticism for play calling or that goes with the territory. Throughout the offseason, that's honestly what we do in terms of going through how to evaluate how things can be done differently or better. That's part of the process we all go through as coaches. I love what Kyle represents in terms of the style that we want to play and the way that we want to attack and the way we want to come off the ball, the way we want to match up our run and pass together in terms of overplaying the run game, and now here comes the play action that goes with it. I think we have a real style in terms of that attitude of the run game, the keepers. That part, I couldn't have been more pleased. But we've got a number of things we're going to work this offseason to improve upon, ball security being at the top of that list. And I understand criticism that goes with the job of coaching, whether it's offensively or a play caller. But what I can tell you is that there's a number of things that we're doing really well. And then past that, that's what this whole offseason is about. How good can we get and how much improvement can we make? And Jeff, specifically about the ball.
Thank you.
AtlantaFalcons.com.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
With the Falcons, that you were a big reason and why they felt like they really connected with you and had really great talks and visits with you. What does that mean to you as a head coach to know that you can make an impact so greatly on a player's decision like that?
I absolutely cherish the relationships between coaches and players. There's so much of this game that it, you know, the emotional side, the connection that we have for one another. So in a short time to, you know, start building the relationships with guys like Mo and Derek and Sean, it's an important part to me. I've always felt like from a culture standpoint, we'll be at our best when our coaches, the players, we're so connected. So that process is fully underway with onboarding the new players as quick as we can. So the off-season program for us can't get here soon enough, but I couldn't be thrilled with these guys. They represent you know, all the important qualities you're looking for, like how important winning is and being part of a terrific organization. So those were the things that fired me up about my conversations with them.
Thanks, Coach.
Associated Press.
You mentioned Weatherspoon's studying his film from last season with Arizona. To what extent, you know, has he recaptured the explosiveness and the ability to go sideline to sideline that he had, you know, at the start of his career in Atlanta?
He had to go through some film. He didn't play a lot early on in the time in Arizona. He had some injuries in training camp that held him back. So when he had a chance to watch up and match on some of the third down stuff, whether it was matching up on a back, we also went through the special teams tape to see the speed, you know, even if you're covering kicks. So it was those clips that we wanted to see. And then more, even more in specific to that, when you play a lot of zone like we do, you better be on point as a tackler. And so seeing the speed was there, the tackling was there, those were the things that lit me up watching them. And that's kind of the challenge as we're heading into the offseason, you know, coming part of this system, which is a new one for him, much like it was for the guys for last year, of having a really clear vision of how to play. So I guess just probably seeing it on tape from last year was the first step in the right direction, because being out the year prior, I didn't have any tape to go on from the year prior.
Vaughn McClure.
Hey, Coach. Was curious to know if you guys extended an offer to Chris Long, if he's still on his visit, or how that went with him.
Yeah, I'll fill you on everything. The visit went well, Vaughn. I thought in terms of the connection with Chris, it was an instant one. I've always had just respect for his game, the toughness, the attitude. When I watched the film from last year, seeing him use his hands, those were the things that said, okay, how would we add to our team and how could we feature him in the best ways? We also thought he could play some DN and slide in to play some nickel tackle. He has left last night to go back home. His wife just had a baby boy just a few days back, so he was in and out quickly. As far as the contract talks, they've been in contact with his agent, but nothing has been, you know, agreed upon at this point. When he had left here, he was talking about possibly taking a couple other trips. So that's where we're at with that. No update in terms of a contract status just yet. But I thought from a visit standpoint, it went well.
And also I want to ask you, Jarrell Freeman, is that somebody that's on your radar?
We have spoke to Jarrell. And he has been on our radar. As we went through the process, we were very impressed by his tape from Indy, but no visit is set up to this point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chris Domino.
Hey, Dan, I know you can't take the money out of it, but in free agency, when you're putting your plan, as you talked about it, your board together,
yep,
you try to figure out what round if this guy was available, this is what he would be. So you try to marry free agency with your draft. And in other words, if you get a center like Mac, well, now we don't have to draft one. That's a plus for us. How does it work when you actually grade these players to figure out which ones you really want to earmark to supplement the draft?
It's a great question, Chris. And part of the reason when we stack our boards, we put our own players into that stack. So in other words, let's say we're just talking about tight ends, just for the sake of using them. If there had been, when we go through the draft stacking, we put our own tight ends into that group to see where the player, if he's on our team to now, what role he would have. And it's been one that, honestly, I've enjoyed going through with the guys. So we do the same thing with the free agents. Where would he be fit in on our team? You're exactly right in terms of the strategy between who we want to add free agency and who we'd add into the draft. As we went in to work the plan, we wanted to add starters at specific spots, and we've nailed that process up to now. And that's where, you know, we intend to, you know, go further in that as we get through the draft. But you're right, that part of the plan between free agency and the draft, how are we going to nail starters? Where would they fit on our team? And that part, you know, we've seen the plan come together, and we're pleased with where we're headed.
All right. D-Led, AJC, you got anything?
Yeah. Coach, are you all – where are you all at in the process? Are you all winding down here or just kind of looking to see what's still out there and kind of moving into phase two of free agency?
That's an accurate statement, Led. We're still in talks with a couple of guys, but it is for sure winding down into that role. Specifically, some of the players now we're still visiting with. If we have an update over the next couple of days, we'll reach out to you. But no one, you know, that – you know, it could go either way, but we'll fill you in as we go. But we are definitely in the winding down process for that.
Safeties in that group?
There has been, yes.
Okay. And a follow-up question on Kyle. You obviously have put a lot of trust in him. You've backed him publicly. How much influence has he had in your personnel decisions? In terms of both players that you've acquired and players that you've let go?
Sure. The number one, like from an organization, we do look at everything from the staff's evaluation on our own club, the staff's evaluation as it goes through to free agency and the draft. So for sure, Jeff, the coaches are part of the process, and that's no different with Kyle or in the, you know, example of Mac with Chris Morgan or with Brian Cox or Richard Smith with Shelby. So those examples, for sure, they're part of the process. But in no way is anyone over that process as an assistant coach. So the personnel decisions on the final come down to Thomas and myself, but I love the process that we go through to get there. But at the end of the day, Jeff, myself and Thomas make the final decisions on the team. That was important to me when Thomas and I partnered up here to have that, but we are collaborative in things that we do together. So for sure we trust the coaches and the scouts and the personnel men to help get to those decisions. But when we get to it, Jeff, that's Thomas and I making the decision that's best for the club together. So that's the process that we go through.
Are you any less certain about the offense now or Kyle now than you were before the year?
I'm not, and in fact, I love the process that we're going through. Sometimes you have to go through in this first year, especially things we like, things we don't. How can we just look for ways to improve? And honestly, that's been the sole focus of the offseason right now. What are ways for us to improve to get better? And it covers from technique regarding individual positions. It goes through scheme. Is there volume that we want to adjust? All of those are right at the front of our thinking. And that's honestly been the whole focus of prior to the players getting back here from a staff standpoint. How can we nail it so we're better when the players arrive back here on April the 18th?
Thank you.
AtlantaFalcons.com, you got any follow-ups?
I'm good. Thank you.
Associated Press, any follow-ups?
Sure, just one. Given that Sean's background in Atlanta came before your arrival, I'm curious if the original interest was from Thomas, or how did that begin?
Yeah, for sure. Thomas had such good experience with Sean, so he knows what he's capable of more so than anyone else from the coaching staff. So, yeah, for sure that was a factor. When you collaborate with people and talk through ideas, we bounce stuff off each other a lot, and so that was the case, you know, here with Spoon. Hey, let's put the tape on and go back and take a look. Thomas has a really clear understanding of how and the style that we play defensively now after being together a year. So he knew the fit, and that's why we watched him together. So we were fortunate to have Spoon come in and be part of the group that's going to come compete for it at Backer.
Thank you.
Paul McCoy, you got any follow-up questions?
Yeah, Dan, Sko said he's talked to you a couple times, you know, that they can't get this deal worked out or anything like that. He said that you relayed to him that you want him back. So what does that situation stand?
No new progress there yet, Vaughn, but Sko is somebody that I absolutely love. I've always appreciated all that he stands for as a ball player and as a man, but we're not there yet, and he knows our stance on things and his as well. But you're absolutely right that somebody that I have spoke with and keep up with, the personal connection and the respect I have for him is big time. But no news on an update on his side at this point.
Chris Domino, you got any follow-ups?
Yeah, thanks. Dan, real quick, I know you've been busy, but Roddy White was on our station, and he talked about, I'll go back to the Kyle situation, where he said it had been the first time in 11 years, four different coordinators, where there didn't seem to be, at least in his mind's eye, any input from anybody else. Kyle ran that room. It was him. There wasn't a give and take. You're a guy who preaches inclusion. I don't know if you heard it, but is there a little bit of pause when you hear something like that, or is there something that we don't know that would actually refute that in any way?
Well, I understand and respect, you know, certainly from a player's opinion, their insight, certainly for a guy like Rod who's been around a number of things. Part of the process that we're going through this offseason is, are there ways for us to do better inclusiveness offensively, defensively on teams? So that's something that's important to me and having that connection between our staff and our players. And I'm not going to say whether this percentage was one way or another, but what I can tell you is that we're working extremely hard. Communication and collaboration is extremely important to me, and that will certainly be you know, something that our entire staff works on to improve.
Can I ask you as a coordinator, were you sort of more open than perhaps it sounded the way that Roddy put it to players, putting together a game plan? What do you do? What do you know? You guys might know a divisional opponent even better than I do when you came back to Seattle. How much give and take did you actually find yourself doing as a coordinator?
Quite a bit for me personally. I think it's sometimes difficult to compare offense coordinators and defensive coordinators. Sometimes from the defensive standpoint, we don't use new formations, new stuff as often as an offensive group does. But I'll be honest, I cherish the relationships with the players, communicating with them. Oftentimes a player has good insight on things that they've done before. So I do love that part of the game. I love the connection that that I have with players in talking about opponents. At the end of the day, when it comes down for the play call, we put the best plan together during the week. And then when it comes to game day, we go let it rip. But in my experience, I've had good success personally, but I know every coordinator, play caller has their own process that they go through to get ready. It is important for me to have the communication point right, and I think that's always something that I'll talk about with you and the group until we get to the level of communication, collaboration in our entire organization. We're not there yet. I think that's fair to say. But what I can tell you is that we work like crazy at it. Have this the best environment for any player or coach to work for in the National Football League. That's ultimately my goal, and to have a championship organization in every way, and that connection with players and coaches. We're not there yet. I promise you that's where we're working to go get to.